Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Big Blue Insider is on. News Radio 630 WLAP and the iHeartRadio app. To interact with the show, call us at 859-280-2287. That's 859-280-CATS. Or you can tweet us at BigBlueInsider1. Now, here's Dick Gabriel.
Welcome to the Big Blue Insider Wednesday edition, halfway through the week. One day closer to Kentucky LSU, a game you'll hear right here on 630 WLAP as the Cats take another what could be huge step in the chase for the SEC Eastern Division title. In the running, it's fun to say that. Obviously, you got to win this one. If you don't, yeah, there I said it. If you don't, it's still possible. It just makes it that much tougher. You don't want to give back all the goodwill you earned by beating Florida. We're going to talk a lot about this game tonight. Derek Ramsey, one of our faves, will join us, the former quarterback. Still a Wildcat, of course. Quarterback the Wildcats to an SEC championship back in the mid-70s. And an NFL veteran as well. So Billy and I will have a chance to pump him with questions about running essentially an NFL offense and get his thoughts on the entire team, but Levis and Wandale and all those guys. Jeff Drummond of Cats Illustrated will join us as well. Jay Drum was on the sideline, of course, for the upset of Florida. And, Billy, we got to start tonight, though, with the fact that it's been confirmed there was speculation that LSU would be without one of its best players. Now, Freddie Maggard talked about Butte last night, but it's actually Derek Stingley Jr., who many believe is the best defensive back in all of college football, not just the SEC, but all of college football. And whether you believe he's the best or not, he is noted basically as a future first rounder. But he underwent foot surgery, and there is no timetable for his return. Former five-star recruit. And you wonder how this will affect his draft status, of course. But more importantly, he won't be playing against the Wildcats. And you know, LSU fans had been thinking prior to the injury, well, this is a guy who could shut down that number one for Kentucky, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, this was the guy that's going to be on Wandale Robinson. And similar to Florida last week when they had an All-American cornerback out, this is great timing for Kentucky.
Yeah.
And I'll throw in another name to the list. Their starting safety, Major Burns, is going to be out as well.
It's an LSU team that is just chock full of talent. There's no question about that. Why it's struggling, I don't know. Got a talented quarterback, great bloodlines, as Billy pointed out the other night, Max Johnson, son of former Super Bowl winner Brad Johnson. And Brad was a quarterback for the Bucs the last time. Who are the two quarterbacks who've won Super Bowls for the Buccaneers?
That's Brad Johnson and Tom Brady.
See, Billy knows the answer to the first one. Most people probably wouldn't remember the answer to Super Bowl number one. Anyhow, here's how good Stingley was. Consensus All-American as a freshman on the 2019 team for that LSU club that went 15-0. Six picks, 15 passes defensed, 38 tackles. Was also a punt return guy. But the next two seasons, he's been struggling with injuries. 2020, no picks, 27 tackles. Teams just didn't throw in his direction. But you got to think they would have figured out a way. They would have had to roll some coverage, I guess, Billy, to make sure that he handled Wandale, who, you know, usually lines up in the slot, but they put him everywhere, which might have forced more man-to-man, you know, might have forced their hand. So anyhow, that's part of the chess match that will not happen. I don't know that it will affect the fact that LSU is only a 3-point underdog.
I think think it evens the playing field a little bit more with Josh Ali out for Kentucky as well.
Yeah, quite possibly. Well, Marquand McCall as well. So both teams, and this is the time of year when injuries catch up, right? So you've got to factor in who's coming off the bench. And now we've talked a lot, of course, about how Wandale has made Josh Ali better. Josh Ali talked about that. So who's the beneficiary now of Wandale on one side and fill in the blank on the other? Is it Epps? Is it Tay-Tay Crooms? Is it a tight end?
Is it Ray Lewis's son?
Well, and he was hurt last week.
Mm.
You know, I mean, he didn't play, didn't even dress. Saw him out in the celebration. That was good.
And but no matter how injured you are, you're going to celebrate that win, I think.
Well, yeah, you may not jump up and down.
Right.
There's a good picture of Keaton Upshaw in the middle of it. And I was thinking, oh, man, please don't anybody fall into this guy's legs. So anyhow, you know, every team in America is dealing with injuries right now. No question about it. So we'll talk about that a lot tonight. 280-2287, 800-606-4263. Tweet us at BigBlueInsider1. Wildcats are playing volleyball right now, Mississippi State. And if you keep your radio on now, but if you want to check it out, check out ESPN3, the ESPN app. I think it's on ESPNU as well. And the John Calipari Women's Clinic is back. You've got the blue-white game on the 22nd, Women's Clinic on the 24th. And it says here, females of all ages invited to take a behind-the-scenes look at the inner workings of the program. Rupp Arena, 3 to 6 p.m. Co-host Ellen Calipari, you've heard of him. Heard of her. So not only is her husband the head coach, her son is now a grad assistant. So if you want to rip the coaching staff, you can rip two Calipari's for the price of one. Price ranges $99 to $150. And only $250 tickets are available for that top price. Females with all levels of basketball knowledge and experience, it says here. But because of COVID, obviously, masks will be required for all attendees regardless of vaccination status. So mask up, ladies. And again, blue-white tickets available tomorrow night, 5 o'clock, Ticketmaster.com only, or go through the Ticketmaster app. $5 to $25. All seating is reserved. 7 p.m. Rupp Arena at Central Bank Center. And it will be on the SEC Network. There will be a limited number of tickets distributed to UK students through a lottery system. Info on that you can find at ukstudenttix.com, Tix, T-I-X. That lottery closes, well, actually, I beg your pardon, it's already closed. So there will be students on hand by way of the lottery. Hope you can make it. If not, tune in. Excuse me, tune in. Speaking of vaccinations, it's getting real in the NBA. Kyrie Irving, it looks like Billy, will sit out. Technically, he has to sit out half the regular season. You cannot play in New York if you're not vaccinated.
Well, that's a problem for the team based in New York, right?
Well, yeah. So now if you play for the Brooklyn Nets, picked by NBA general managers to win the NBA, you're in trouble, man. Or are you? There are some people who think they have enough to win it without him. They may. But everybody knows he is a great, great player. Won a title with LeBron. But you know as well as I, and I know you have your problems with LeBron, but you know as well as I, LeBron can basically, with some exception, have whoever he wants as a teammate. If someone's available, I'll put it to you that way. He can't just look at a team and say, go get that guy. Contracts are in place. But if people are available that he wants, he'll get them. Right? Right.
Yeah, I think LeBron has the Tom Brady effect.
Yeah. So, why are he and Kyrie not teammates anymore? You have to ask yourself that.
Probably because Kyrie's a weird dude. Remember, this is the same guy that thinks the earth is flat.
You are correct, sir. You are correct.
And if you're the GM, you're in a tough spot because you're not going to get good value for this guy. I mean, who's going to trade for a guy that can't play on the road in like four different states?
Unbelievable. And yet he calls it a personal decision. Well, yeah, it's personal to a degree, but now you're playing a team sport. So how is it personal if you are affecting the livelihood of not just your teammates, but everybody in the organization? Your personal decision is affecting dozens of people and, of course, your fans. So I know there's not a huge crowd of NBA supporters in Lexington. People are interested because former Wildcats are in the all over the place. But it's an interesting dynamic at work. TJ's up first tonight. What's up, TJ?
Hey, what's up, buddy? Just want to let you know I did not get arrested in the hotel Saturday after we beat Florida.
Screaming and yelling, were you?
I did go out into the hallway and give a big C-A-T-S, catch, catch, catch chant, no matter what.
You were in San Antonio, is that right?
What's up, buddy?
You were in San Antonio, is that right?
Oh, I'm in Arizona.
Arizona, that's it, yeah.
Yes, sir. Here's the thing, and by the way, I'm going to make it home just in time Saturday for the LSU game. I'll be traveling from Arizona to Raleigh, and then Raleigh back to Fort Bragg. So I'll be there just in time. But I'm not counting my hens before they hatch. But it seems like the LSU program, since they won that national title, has just gone downhill.
Yep.
My question to you, how many more games does LSU have to lose before Coach O is gone?
I think if he ends up with a losing record this year, and Billy disagrees with me on this because he thinks he's got enough goodwill banked. I think he should, but I just think the way LSU, man, it's a snake pit. And I think if he has a losing record this year, I think they may sack him. The question is, what if his team finishes like 7-5, you know, 6-6? That ain't good enough down there. And he's been there now. This is, what, his sixth year?
Yeah.
So they don't sit around, and the AD who hired him is gone. The new AD loves to hire big-name people, has done it before at other schools. So I guarantee you he's sitting there thinking, man, if this guy doesn't turn it around, I know just who to go after. I don't know who that might be.
And I think Les Miles was, gosh, 8-4, 9-3 when he got fired. Yeah. But, I mean, he was –
But come to find out, though, he had so much more crap going on behind the scenes, it was easy for them to fire him. Now, they kept their mouth shut, and they lied to the people at Kansas, flat-out lied to the people at Kansas when they did background checks on him, so it was easier for them to fire Les Miles.
For sure. Real quick before I go, Coach Urban Meyer, is he campaigning for LSU or USC out West Coast? Have a cool one, man.
All right, appreciate it. No, I think USC's his for the taking. He could probably get LSU if he wants it, but, yeah, we'll talk about Urban on the other side of the break or when we have time. Let's put it to you that way. 280-2287, we'll take a break, back with more phone calls in just a moment here on the Big Blue Insider, 630 WLAP.
This is the home of the Wildcats, 630 WLAP.
We're actually thinking about, well, tomorrow, yes, but Saturday when the Wildcats take on LSU. Back to the phones we go. Mark has been holding. Mark, thanks for hanging on. What's up, man?
Hey, one, I've been to a lot of UK games and 8 stops in the red zone. I mean, I've been to, you name the game, I've seen defeat snatched out of the jaws of victory.
I know. And you were at that. You were bracing yourself.
No, the funny thing is I wasn't.
Really?
That was the best crowd ever.
Yeah, it was.
I think even better than Rupp Arena crowds.
Really? Well, it's bigger.
Yeah, I mean, it just there was not a moment that there was a big lull, and if there was, somebody picked it up, the cheerleaders or somebody in the stands.
You're right.
The second thing of crazy talk, it's the if talk. Three teams of the SEC in the champion in the playoffs. If they do things, if one team were to lose only one game,
right,
to say Georgia, and win out, possibilities.
Absolutely. And that's what people in other conferences don't like about the SEC. Question is, would Kentucky have enough residual respect? Assuming you're talking about Kentucky and
you have to blow out the last two games.
I would think. And you got to play Georgia tough, win or lose.
Yes.
Obviously, if you win, that's one thing.
Yeah. 7 points being in the game, especially at the end with the score.
That's right. That's right.
Would Stoops go anywhere at the end of the year if we have a great season like this?
If the money's right, and you couldn't blame him. You can't blame any coach these days. I think it would have to be crazy money to get him away from Kentucky.
The last thing is that with Kyrie, who I'm not a huge fan of, visiting players do not have to be vaccinated. It's only players in New York and California. And he did not know this before he signed.
No, I don't think the rule is in place when he signed. Yeah.
So, I mean, it's one of those things that, like, we had 62,000 people in that stand. We had hundreds of people on that field. And we're still worried about who's vaccinated or not.
People are still dying. That's the problem. People are still getting sick and dying. But you're right. That's another story. But let me, to your point, thanks, Mark. To Mark's point about the crowd, I mentioned the crowds at two previous Georgia games under Stoops's, in the Stoops era. And I think Mark is right in that I think the crowd for this game was better because they sustained it. I mean, I think he nailed it. They sustained the noise. And the other thing is, in no way did those crowds in the Georgia games just statistically make the difference that they did. There was no 8 illegal procedure penalty calls in either one of those games. Maybe one or two. I don't even remember. But that was an absolute definite factor. And Dan Mullen will be the first guy to tell you that. There's no question about that. Penalties killed Florida. Yeah, there were a couple against Kentucky, but penalties killed Florida. The no call against Wandale Robinson might have helped Kentucky sock the game away. And I think, and whoever was doing color, Olafsky, I think, did a nice job. I watched the replay. He called it, and so did Jeff Pecoro. As soon as it happened, the D-back grabbed Wandale, and Jeff blurted out, "That's holding right there." And then, of course, he overthrows him by a mile. Well, yeah, because he knocked him out of his route. If they score a touchdown there, I firmly believe that Kentucky scores, puts Florida back on its heels, and we're not chewing fingernails at the end, which brings me back to Mark's comment. I got to tell you, I was bracing myself, and by that I mean I thought, oh, God, this one's going to get away now. And you know, after Kentucky goes 3-and-out, I'm like, oh, man. You know, that third down call, you and I talked about that, the naked boot that Florida sniffed out. Give them credit. But then they hold him on the fourth down. I'm like, that's it. Oop, face mask. Here we go again. What am I going to say to a poor player at the end of the game about another one that got away? Billy, I don't think we'll ever see that again.
It's a defensive stand we'll talk about forever, Dick.
Exactly.
And quickly on the other topic, I just don't know if Kentucky has enough clout to get into the playoff as a one-loss team. maybe Alabama, maybe Georgia, but I feel like Kentucky would have to win the SEC in order for all three of those SEC teams to get in.
I think you're right. I think it would. I think it has to get to. I know it has to get to Atlanta. I think it gets to Atlanta. If it beats Georgia, wins the East, I think Kentucky's in. If not, then I got a problem.
I can't even believe we're talking about this.
Isn't that great? It's fun.
Joe, you're listening to Big Blue Insider with Dick Gabriel on News Radio 630 WLAP and WLAP.com.
Welcome back to the Big Blue Insider. Dick Gabriel, Billy Rutledge. We're talking, of course, about the Wildcats. Undefeated, 5-0, on a run. And the last time they were on a run like this, my next guest was the quarterback, of course. This goes back to 1977. He's on our celebrity hotline, Mr. Derek Ramsey. How are you, young man?
I'm doing great, brother. My deep apologies about not showing up for you last week. I am great. You mentioned that we were close to this in 77. One of the things, and I blame Coach Kersey for this, Gabe, and I want all the Big Blue Nation to know this. The 4 years I was here, we never won the second game.
Really?
Never once won the second game.
And why was that Kersey's fault?
I always told him it was scheduling. It was his fault.
Yeah, you all had to go to Baylor in 77.
Yeah. So I'm envious of what Levis and his guys are doing, and Coach Stoops. I mean, 5-0, man. I can't tell you how proud I am for our team and the Big Blue Nation. And you've heard me say this before. You know, one of the great things me and my team delivered to the people of Kentucky. And I remember when Babe called me in 76 after we won the SEC championship. And he was congratulating me and, of course, my team. And he said, I just hope, like the Dickens, it's not another 25 years before we do this again.
Yeah. It's been a long dry spell.
And here we are 40-some years. And so for these guys, for this team to be 5-0 at this point, it's in reach.
Yeah,
it is in reach, and we control our own destiny. Mm-hmm. And if I'm a player and if I'm a team, that's all I want. I mean, I certainly believe in myself and my team, so we could get this thing done.
Ram, so, you guys that year handled LSU, and you certainly handled Georgia. A little bit of a different picture this year in that LSU's struggling, Georgia's outstanding. But let me ask you about LSU. Going into this game, they're minus Derek Stingley. The cornerback is really good. They're minus a safety. Kentucky's going to be minus Josh Ali. Are you concerned at all that there will be any kind of, if lack of a better term, a letdown after the win over Florida?
We're not that good. And I don't think Coach Stoops will allow them to have a letdown. I mean, we're just starting to feel good about ourselves. You know, we're getting some attention that we haven't had in some time to be number 16 in the country. Although, you know, it's not where you start out, it's where you end up. And so hopefully I want us to still be in the top 20 once this season ends. So, no, we can't afford to, and nor do I think Coach Stoops will allow them to.
Derek, you mentioned your
– But again, also, Gabe, this is where – and you and I had a conversation some weeks ago when our quarterback was talking about he's learning about leadership.
Right.
Well, now is when leadership is important.
Okay.
In that game this past Saturday, if I was Florida's quarterback, they would have arrested me on that field. There is no way under the sun I would allow my team to false start that many times. Yeah. I mean, it just wouldn't have happened.
Yeah.
It would not have happened, Gabe. I mean, you've been around me.
Yep.
I mean, that just wouldn't have happened. And so, you know, now is the time, if Levis wants to be a leader, now is the time to show it. But one of the things I'm proud and happy for him, you know, because sometimes you read these clippings and you start thinking that all these things that they're saying, and they talk about him with the big arm and the big arm, and that's all you hear. But the thing that he just did this past Saturday was win ugly.
Yeah.
It was an ugly game, and we won. And so, to me, when teams start to mature, when they start to get momentum going, is when they find ways to win. And that's what we did Saturday.
Derek, you mentioned your 4 years here playing for Coach Kersey. Did you ever get a play call in the huddle where you just said, "I'm not running that play. I'll change it"? How much freedom did you have?
You mean how many times? that's one, and the majority of the plays. I mean, Coach Moss allowed me to call these things, and they would actually send stuff from the sideline. So I had a lot of flexibility to change plays, and it's always funny, you know, when I talk to Dave Hope or this all Big D, they'll come in with a play, and they say, I said, man, who the hell called this? We're not running this. This is what we're going to do. And but, you know, when your guys believe in you, they're going to make it work. They're not going to let you fail, you know, because it's not me failing, it's us failing. And when you buy into that we, us against them, that's when things start to happen.
You know,
so to answer your question, I had a lot of latitude to change players.
You know, Kyle Tucker wrote about the fact that when the NIL thing popped up, and man, you would have cleaned up if that had been happening when you were playing.
He said,
Levis is trying to work out a deal with a restaurant or whatever where he can feed his offensive linemen and his offensive teammates whenever he can. I think that's a pretty good example of leadership right there.
Absolutely. I mean, you take care of the guys first to keep you upright.
Yep.
That's why, you know, I just talked to Warren Bryant just the other day, and I talked to Slate last night. I mean, these guys still, whatever they need, I'm there to do it for them.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, because those guys kept me upright and got me to walking where I don't have much of a limp most days.
Most days. We talked preseason, Ram, about Kentucky switching to an NFL-style offense. And you know a heck of a lot more about this stuff than I do. But what do you think of the transition and how this team has executed, including the QB who's made some mistakes? You know, everybody has. But, I mean, you're 5-0, so you got that going for it. But what do you think of the change?
I'm excited about it. You know, but what we're doing is just catching up with what Alabama's been doing for years, you know, and the good teams. And also when the quarterback was over at LSU, the young kid over at, with the Bengals.
Burrow.
We're just catching up those guys and trash down in Florida. So we're just catching up. It's nothing new, you know, and what they're doing is, but what I really like is the balance. They understand that we can't just go around throwing the ball. You can't win with that. The SEC is always going to be, because everybody has good running backs, there's going to be a time in that game where you're going to have to put together a 5 to 7 minute drive. And so with the short passes, that's good. But also, you know, we've been running the ball well. And so when you run the ball well, there's always room for play action for you to get to that second and third level on the passing. So, no, I'm excited about what we're doing. I'm excited about the blend that we have. Just wish our tight ends that we would get our tight ends more engaged.
Yeah.
You know, because, again, in college football in particular and in the NFL, I mean, you look at Kelsey over there. You look at that young man that just left Florida, just with Atlanta. You look at the tight end that we have at Oakland. Guys that can run. And so there's always going to be a mismatch. And so I'm hoping that's our next move, because we can certainly take advantage of it, because most strong safeties in particular in the SEC are hybrid linebackers.
Yeah.
Derek, as you watch the game from afar now, is there anything about college football that you would change, maybe the way that you've seen it evolve over the years? I mean, people argue about the game being soft or, you know, quarterbacks getting too much protection. Is there anything you would change?
No, I don't think the guys are soft. I just think those are the rules, and so you have to be compliant. I would just, you know, selfishly, and I know the effect of it, I would just love to see us use the tight end more. I mean, you look at that young man that's in Atlanta. Well, what the heck is his name? That was
Pitts.
At Florida last year.
Pitts.
Pitts.
Yeah.
I mean, this guy just ran around wherever he wanted to because of his size and because of his speed. And so when you have that kind of advantage, and you look at the NFL, the teams that win are the ones that have tight ends.
Yep.
You know, that's where the mismatch is. And, you know, you got a guy that can run, the guy that's athletic, that has some basketball skills, knowing how to post up guys, knowing how to put them on your back. That's the difference. I mean, I think once we get there, that's our next step. And I'm certain our coaches have thought about that, you know, because I was watching Notre Dame a few weeks ago, and I dang near fell off the chair, Gabe, when I listened to that tight end. The tight end that Notre Dame has, this all-world tight end, is from up in Northern Kentucky.
Yes, he is.
What a player.
He's their best receiver, yeah.
And so we just got to find us one of those. I mean, that's that home run guy. But, you know, our coaches have just been doing an incredible job of getting players, but not only getting players, they have done one heck of a job in developing players.
That's one of the
hard things about coaching here at Kentucky is mm-hmm. because you don't have the luxury of having 25, 30, 50 blue chippers.
Right.
You know, we have our 5 to 7, and occasionally we'll slip up to 8, and then we're back down to 4. So we got to get the talent in here and develop it. So hence, that's why we can't reload and be as good as quick as your Alabamas and Georgias. But with the class that we got coming in next year, if all I hear, you know, is true, then they said that class is going to be able to compete with our class. And I can't wait to see that.
That would be fun if they could.
Yeah.
Derek Ramsey is my guest. And, Ram, we have more questions for you. So if you could hang on a minute, and we'll come back to you in just a few. We are talking with the All-American Derek Ramsey when we come back here on 630 WLAP.
100 calories per serving. Farm fresh quality from our family to yours. Farmer-owned Prairie Farms.
This is the home of the Wildcats, 630 WLAP.
Welcome back, Dick Gabriel, Billy Rutledge. We are talking Kentucky football with the Ram, Derek Ramsey, the All-American quarterback, led the Wildcats to an SEC title, to a 10-1 record in 1977. And he, of course, excited about this year's team. And, Ram, we've touched on him a little bit, but tell me about Wandale Robinson and what you see. You played in the NFL. You got a Super Bowl ring. This guy was transformational, wasn't he, when he got here?
No question. He's one of those guys, and for years and years and years, Gabe, I have longed for a Craig Yeast-type clone. And this is the closest thing I've seen since Craig left with this kind of abilities. And that's not to diminish Ali or any of our other receivers. This young man is just special. He has a feel for the game, understands how to play already at this level. So I'm hopeful that, you know, Epps this week, now that I understand that Ali is potentially out, steps up. Because the thing that we can't do is continue what's happened in the past when they would take Ali out of the game, then our passing games become non-existent.
Derek, speaking of Wandale Robinson, he announced earlier today that he was signing a six-figure endorsement deal with Stockton Mortgage. I mean, is that just hard to comprehend as someone that played this game and really was given just a scholarship?
Well, no. You know, that's always a kind of question that I get. And I remember when I was in the NFL, the guys that played on those great Green Bay teams, what they got for retirement. Let's just say a guy played 10 years during that time. They were probably making, you know, $20,000 or less, you know, $15,000. And then when they retired, they would get a measly $700-$800 a month for their retirement. And so my point is, it's just the times. And so, you know, I was just born 40 years too early. So I'm not going to hate on these guys. Life has been more than gracious to me. And so I'm excited to see these young people get these kind of monies. And, you know, and Gabe, the thing that they have to understand is it's not what you make, it's how much you keep.
Yeah.
And so I'm hopeful that they have some people around them to give them some good ideas what to do with their monies and not to run off and go spend it and understand that, okay, you got this money, but you always have this silent partner called Uncle Sam.
Yeah, you're
and
right.
So a young man makes, let's say, hypothetical $100,000. Well, Uncle Sam's got his hand out there for $35,000.
Yeah, yeah.
So I just hope that there's someone, you know, that's telling these young men and young women, because I think a lot of our women are going to be able to take advantage of this as well. It's just football season now.
Yeah, I agree.
But no, I'm excited about, you know, what the future holds. People have argued and debated it for years that athletes should be paid. Well, it's here now. You know, it took some years, but it's here. And so the thing that we as a university have to be careful of, and, you know, if I were still an AD, this just adds to your sleepless nights. Coaches or alumni or people can promise people things that they can't really get. And then all of a sudden you got some investigations going on. So this is just something else that the ADs around the country have to think about now.
Ram, I have just a couple of minutes left, but I wanted to ask you this for a while. You are an old school kind of guy. I know people probably don't think of you that way, but you really are in terms of the way to play football, the right way to do it. And if they're listening, they realize you're about the right way to do things and discipline. Mm-hmm. And those are characteristics, I think, of a Mark Stoops coach team and a Rich Brooks coach team. And your best Kentucky teams were the same way, I think. Can you tell me a little bit about your impressions of the way Stoops is building a football team, a football program?
Well, from my view of it, he's not taking any shortcuts. You know, he's getting some guys, and he's bringing them in here, and they're having to understand this is how Kentucky football is being played. And you know, year after year now, we've gone to bowls. And so year after year, you remember, Gabe, his early years, we weren't getting anybody drafted.
Yeah.
I think there was a stretch there for about 3 years where no one got drafted.
Yep.
And so we go from no guys getting drafted to getting one of the kids in the top six, top seven NFL draft, you know, and then we had another first round of this past year. And so my point is, he's doing this thing, from my perspective, the right way. You know, getting some athletes in, you get some really good athletes, and then you get some who really think they're really good that aren't. So you kind of get a mix of those worker bee guys that this is their last stop, and they get to recognize that early on, you know, because the thing about being a pro, I knew Gabe from my sophomore, actually from the end of my freshman year on, once I'd gotten here and surmised the guys that were on my team and the guys I saw that we were playing against and being honest with my abilities, how I would match up to these guys, you know. And so for a guy that this is the last stop, that guy for me was the easiest one to motivate.
Yeah.
You know, because I can tell him, you know, they're going to be talking about us, man. And not just me. They're going to be talking about us and our offensive line and how we control people. And, oh, by the way, it wasn't a question, Gabe, and you remember this. You were there with me. In 77, it wasn't a matter if we were going to win. That's it was right. A matter about how much.
That's right. Yeah.
And so, you know, you get these guys, and that's the thing I love about leadership and the part, my little part in there. And I think so often I get more credit than I deserve. But the thing that I wanted was that for my guys, for them and for me to get all the ability out of me that I could. And so I was always pushing.
Yeah.
I mean, I kept pushing these guys, and they were ticked off at me a lot of times, but hell, they got over it, and so did I. And because at the end of the day, Gabe, when you're winning, you know, even though you ticked off about something, what are you going to say?
That's right.
I mean, because my response would be, you know, people, oh, well, you know, we look at the stats you're on, but you're right. Statistically, I suck. but put up wins and losses.
Right. Okay? That's what it's about.
It's a matter of what you want.
That's right.
I like wins. I like wins myself.
That's right. Ram, I can't thank you enough as always. Love talking football. Looking forward to seeing you again. I know y'all have a reunion this Friday night. And I hope you celebrate.
So
I am going. We're going to do the show from there. So we'll see you there, man.
Good.
Yeah.
Good.
All right.
I look forward to it.
Thanks, brother. See you soon.
Always, Gabe.
All right,
later.
Buddy. Appreciate it. Love talking football. Billy, that's a guy who won an SEC title for Kentucky and won a Super Bowl and played in another Super Bowl. So, yeah, he brings it, doesn't he?
Yeah, I think Stoops needs to have him in front of the team at some point this
That'd
year.
That'd be fun. Volleyball lost the first set, trailing in the second. What's going on over there? We'll try to keep you posted here on 630 WLAP.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.